I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This episode of Canada Land is brought to you by the Center for Addiction and Mental Health, CAMH. There is an incredible facility right here in downtown Toronto that is helping on the front lines and is doing incredible innovative research. They are a facility that treats everybody with dignity, and they need your help. May 6th to 12th is Mental Health Week. If this matters to you, help CAMH. There's no better place for your resources. Go to camh.ca/CanadaLand and donate now. Help CAMH treat addiction and build hope. This episode of Canada Land is brought to you by Douglas, a mattress that is trusted by more than 200,000 Canadians from coast to coast to coast. It's a great mattress at a very reasonable price point. Comes with a 20-year warranty. And a great deal for our listeners. Douglas is giving you a free sleep bundle with each mattress purchase. Get the sheets, pillows, mattress, and pillow protectors free with your Douglas purchase today. Visit douglas.ca/CanadaLand to claim this offer. That is douglas.ca/CanadaLand. So this is going to work out better if you are comfortable disagreeing with me at times. Is that going to be okay?
When have I ever had the slightest hesitation to do that, Jesse?
Joe Clark, welcome back to Canada Land. Welcome to Shortcuts. This episode of Canada Land Shortcuts is brought to you by Shazia Khan, Philip, Sean Sorensen, Tim Norman, David Nichols, Jessica White, Jessica McLaughlin, Joanne Balsayan, John Robert O'Quinn, and Doug. This episode is brought to you by Douglas, a mattress trusted by more than 200,000 Canadians from coast to coast to coast. Trust is important. There are a lot of mattress lies out there, a lot of mattress liars. And I didn't intend the pun, but it occurred to me that there is one as I was saying those words. Listen, I am not lying to you. I have experienced the Douglas mattress. It is an exceptional mattress at a surprisingly affordable price point. It is a mattress that sleeps cool, doesn't have that weird thing in the summer where the mattress gets like an oven. It's a very good product. It's delivered to your house in a box. You don't have to go to a big mattress store. It is a medium firm mattress, which is what Canadians prefer. And it comes with a 365-night trial and a 20-year warranty. What more can I tell you? Douglas is giving our listeners a free sleep bundle with each mattress purchase. Get the sheets, pillows, mattress, and pillow protectors free with your Douglas purchase today. Visit douglas.ca/CanadaLand to claim this offer. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp, therapy online that has served over 3 million people around the world, and it's available here in Canada. And this time of year, we're all emerging from our winter-like seclusion and, patio season and socializing, and it can be terrifically fun, but it can also create a lot of pressure. And some people get, like, anxiety, social anxiety from being out too much. What did Iggy Pop say about social life? It's torture dressed as fun. It doesn't need to be torture. I think it's just about finding, like, the right balance of how much of other people do you want? I mean, we need each other, but I think that at a certain point, it can become overwhelming. And talking to somebody about yourself, about your social life, about your relationships is a way of gaining insight into what is right for you. It's not selfish to examine that with a professional. And as the largest online therapy provider in the world, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a wide variety of expertise in mental health. Listeners of the show get 10% off of their first month at betterhelp.com/CanadaLand. That's better, H-E-L-P, betterhelp.com/CanadaLand.
Governor Sarah Palin has faced a slew of personal attacks by the far left since she was named as McCain's running mate. But now one writer from the Canadian Broadcasting Company which is a taxpayer-funded venture in Canada, getting beyond vicious.
Heather Malik said in a September 5th column that Republican men were sexual inadequates and that Palin was a toned-down version of a porn actress. She then said, quote, added nothing to the ticket except that the Republicans didn't already have sewn up the white trash vote.
Her extreme left-wing and, well, rather infantile views would be utterly laughable if they didn't appear in the pages of, frankly, one of Canada's most circulated newspapers. Poor old Heather, screaming to be noticed, but still obscure and irrelevant.
I've been blocked by Heather Malik. Have you been blocked by Heather?
Not yet. I haven't had that pleasure. But that's my advice to everyone on Twitter. Block as many people as you can. That was Michael Corn at the end?
Yes, that was Michael Corn.
On the Christian TV station talking about being obscure, and Heather Malik has a column in the Toronto Star. But really, I mean, taking pot shots at Sarah Palin is, well, absolutely futile for a Canadian because it has nothing to do with us. That's part of our colonial mentality.
That was an earlier skirmish.
Well, I know, but it's a part of a colonial mentality that we have to talk about Americans all the time while we don't.
You know, I've been on panels with Heather Malik and I've met her and I enjoyed her immensely. And I won't say that I'm a fan of her writing all the time, but I don't, you know, like John Kay said that let this last thing about the vaccines, about the rural doctor be the last thing she ever writes. I don't agree. I think that there's a room for a Heather Malik. I find it's best to take her as one would a correspondent on The Daily Show or on Weekend Update, you know, like a now let's hear a commentary from, you know, tipsy left-wing aunt. You know, and if you look at her as satire or as a caricature,
you mean Rosanna Dana,
something like
Baba
that.
Wawa.
But this is something else, and we're going to talk on the next Candleland. I'm going to have a more in-depth conversation about what the Star did with that vaccination story. So we're going to get into this in more detail today. I want to talk with you, Joe, about Heather Malik and this Twitter blocking thing because you played a role in that, didn't you?
Moi, all I did several months when poor benighted Heather Malik from Sudbury couldn't quite figure out Twitter and couldn't figure out how to reduce the noise in her feed, I told her, just get Tweetbot, for God's sake. And then she complained, well, it doesn't help on my Macintosh. Well, get Tweetbot for Mac, for God's sake. There are many Twitter programs out there, and they're all being strangled by Twitter slowly because of the API restrictions and
focus,
so on.
Focus, Joe, focus.
I am focusing. They're all being strangled, so use them while you can. But software like Twitter, like Tweetbot, I should say, lets you mute, let's see, people, hashtags, clients. So if you've got someone who's using Tweetbot and you don't want to ever read anything from Tweetbot again, you can do that. You can mute them for a day, a week, a month, forever. It's just the best thing to slice bread. And it gives you incremental steps before you actually have to block someone.
Okay. So this is – it allows you to not use Twitter as you use Twitter. I got a message 2 days ago, Heather Malik is now following you on Twitter. And then I went and checked out Heather Malik's account, which I never looked at before, and it said Heather Malik has blocked you on Twitter. To give people some context, in defending the Star's coverage of Gardasil, the anti-HPV vaccine, and in fact saying that this isn't a debate that we should be having, it was hard to follow the thrust of her argument, but it seemed like she has said since that she's pro-vaccination.
Right, because she, like you, was mixing up that issue, the Toronto Star's coverage, with so-called anti-vaxxers, which are two different things, right?
Well, there were four different things in that Malik column, yes. You know, which is not strange for a Heather Malik column. I think that what people were incensed by was this swipe that she took at a doctor.
At the rural doctor.
Where she suggested – now, there was some low-hanging fruit that she's welcome to snatch if she wants. The fact that this doctor has a playful public image and you know, says
God
on
forbid.
Her –
God forbid.
But Heather Malik said, why should we read the blog of a rural –
of a rural doctor.
And it's just
– look, the obvious downtown progressive Jesse Nation analysis of this is that's one woman tearing another woman down, right? But if you think back to what Rosie DiMano has been doing since time immemorial, Rosie DiMano has essentially been the attack dog for the Star, right? The in-house, fiercely loyal David Carr Monkey attack dog for the Star. And the thing that disturbed me about Malik's piece there was she was becoming an attack dog for the Star. Because the Gardasil article was just incoherent on its face and was really working with anecdata, as your other guests will talk about.
Oh, well, I like
right?
that.
That's not my own term. It's a pretty good one though. But why would Heather Malik have to come out from the beaches? Actually, she doesn't really leave the beaches, does she? And defend the Star's coverage. That is not her bailiwick. She has all the things in the world to write about. Again, why do colonists who have the maximum freedom available in the lamestream media keep walking on landmines? I don't understand what she was talking about.
Well, you know what? I would not want to see this be the last thing that Heather Malik ever wrote. I think there's room for polemic in the dialogue.
Hold on. On what basis are you imagining that she's going to stop writing anywhere?
Well, I think that this is serious. You know, you're right. The ability for our papers to just completely ignore the hue and cry of the public. I mean, this is a serious thing, as we'll get into in the next Canada Land that the Star has done. And you know, Malik has made herself the target for it. Whether or not they keep her or not,
Do you know something I don't?
No, I'm just going on John Kay's suggestion and the fact that people on Twitter have been calling for her head, and the fact that she's retreated from Twitter, you know, and is not showing
John
any account.
John Kay suggesting this when there's positively nothing you can do to get fired from the National Post, back knowledge or an egg? Give me a fucking break.
He's in the walrus now.
I know that.
My point is simply she needs to apologize to that doctor.
There was a sequence of stories. There was four stories that were attributing views to me that I never held. These same stories were accusing me of things that I never did, and they also attributed statements to me that I never made.
The National Post and Terrence Corcoran and a couple of the writers just lost a defamation case that was launched by this MLA for the Green Party, Weaver, who's also a climate scientist. And what they wrote about him, which has been deemed defamatory, is pretty extraordinary. The court found that the Post and Terrence Corcoran knew about Dr. Weaver's cautious views on the subject matter and ignored them in the pertinent articles.
Ignored
them. That the judge listed pages of untrue statements. And the judge found that there was, in fact, error so substantive to the point it would alter opinions.
But alter opinions on a false basis.
The charge was that essentially, if you read the Post's coverage of Weaver, you would think that Weaver had accused the energy industry of breaking in to his lab.
Yeah, which he didn't do and which also didn't happen.
He never made that accusation.
Right. And by far the most damning thing, and I know you dearly, you're just champing at the bit to talk about Terrence Corcoran. Terrence Corcoran was absolutely the worst because the judge found that he changed a quote, which is a cardinal journalistic sin. So I'm just going to go into a wee bit of detail for 30 seconds. This will be worth it. The direct quote as listed in the paper, which was from allegedly from Weaver, which has a quote inside it, so it gets complex. So here we go. Open quote. When you see these temperature numbers, and temperature is in square brackets, it's screaming at you, quote, this is global warming, end quote, right? And then the judge, writes at paragraph 223, if you want to look it up. The numbers in the quote Dr. Weaver was referring to in his article were the global average surface temperatures and not weather and or temperature events. It was also clear from Mr. Corcoran's testimony, he was on the stand, Jesse, testimony that he knew the difference between these two concepts. He knew Dr. Weaver was referring to global average surface temperatures but changed the quote for his own purposes.
Now, I've been challenged on Twitter, are you going to stand up for Corcoran's free speech rights here, Jesse? Because usually when it comes to libel and defamation cases against journalists in Canada, you know, there's just so much abuse of the law.
No, this is not Britain. That's not true. Like, give me two examples.
Well, how about the Conrad Black's case against Bruce Livesey?
That's one. Score 1 point for Jesse. That's okay. That's in American terms, but of course we can't because that's colonial. That's a slap lawsuit, right? Okay, absolutely. That's a clear case of that, right? Absolutely. Do you have a more substantive one?
At my fingertips, you may have caught me here. I think that it's if I can amend my argument now that you've done so. I think that there's more of a libel chill, perhaps, than rampant use of slap lawsuits. Though I know that the
libel
CJFE.
Chill. I don't think I agree with you there. I would say there's libel ignorance.
Libel ignorance. Well, libel chill could be based on libel ignorance. I think I agree with that. That a lot of us don't use the rights that we have, and especially after Grant versus Torstar. Anyhow, as the Globe and Mail still employs Margaret Wente, the National Post still employs Terrence Corcoran, who I think we can come pretty close to saying lied to his readers and misrepresented the case of Dr. Weaver, still
– he made shit up.
He
doctored a quote.
He still works for the National Post. You know who doesn't work for Post Media anymore? Margaret Munro.
Tell me more.
Science journalist was laid off a week or two ago. I don't know who else is covering science.
Oh,
for them.
Yeah, they shit canned a bunch of them. Yeah.
So Margaret Munro is the journalist who broke the story of muzzled scientists muzzled by Harper cabinet. So that's I think we have to
not
really
ironic
pay
at all.
Close attention to which voices are being propped up and which voices are being shown the door. And, you know, over at the Globe, they had an environmental reporter who they've reassigned. I think doesn't work there anymore. So when we talk about these science stories, be it vaccination or climate change, let's pay close attention to who still has a job and who doesn't.
Keeping in mind, though, that Terrence Corcoran is also the editor of the Financial Post, n'est-ce pas? So that makes him unfireable right then and there.
Baird represents the broadening of the Conservative Party. He's young, urban, and a moderate on social issues in a party that voted about 95% against same-sex marriage.
You're not likely to be on the same side of the issue as many in your own caucus.
Sure.
What's that like?
You know what? I'm comfortable in my own skin.
He and some of his colleagues, with the help of the media, appears to be concealing their own homosexuality, possibly to prevent them losing the support of certain Christian fundamentalists and other anti-homosexual groups.
The press release took issue with how Foreign Affairs Minister John Baird has been handling gay issues in international affairs.
He is promoting homosexuality in Uganda, Kenya, and he gave $200,000 of our Canadian taxpayers' money to homosexual groups in Uganda and Kenya.
Joe, you challenged me after my last conversation with Desmond Cole about John Baird's departure as to why I didn't mention, neither of us mentioned his homosexuality. And, you know, I was very uncomfortable with the idea of outing John Baird. But of course, as
He's never been in.
Well, I knew that he was out in Ottawa, but you know, there is this implicit deal the media has with Baird. But to be clear, in saying that John Baird is gay right now, I am not outing John Baird and the media. That of course, happened on Metro Morning, not something that they control, but in a live broadcast, Pamela Taylor, conservative candidate, mentioned that John Baird was gay, which was reported on by Extra, La Presse, and Vice. And then I also became aware that a member of provincial parliament here in Ontario, Sherry DeNovo, publicly at a rally called on our openly gay foreign minister, John Baird, to declare his homosexuality on Russian soil, which is a newsworthy event that the media did not.
That would have been a step too far for him. That would have been a stunt. But
I'm not saying he should have done that, but what this show is about the media and what we cover and what we don't. And this show is about things that other media don't cover and why. And, you know, I have to admit, I was on side with this sort of deal the media has of like, well, if this guy doesn't want it to be part of the conversation that he's gay, why would I impose that on him? And the more I look into this.
You thought there was a deal and you exculpated yourself. Good thing there's a family compact going there with the Ottawa political hacks. I don't have to talk about this. Congrats on you for talking about it now, which is a wee bit of a surprise for me. Congrats on you there. But try not to flatter yourself so much, oh, I was on side with this deal. I'm not sure – by the way, I'm not sure that that deal is the same one that would have been true, for example, for Richard Hatfield. And I did grow up in New Brunswick under Richard Hatfield and the Irvings, right? Everyone knew Richard Hatfield was gay. I found out after I left. Mm-hmm. In other words – I found out after I left that everyone knew Richard Hatfield was gay.
Can you tell me who Richard Hatfield is?
Hatfield was the premier of New Brunswick mm-hmm. in the 1970s for decades, actually. It was a confirmed bachelor. The deal back then absolutely was the one you've just described, which is, well, we're not going to talk about that, even though it's plainly obvious to anyone who was an adult. And now, of course, the premier of Ontario is a lesbian. She was even elected. It's not really a big deal. And what I'm going to suggest to you is that the so-called deal that the Ottawa Press Gallery had with John Baird was talking among themselves and realizing he's not in the closet.
He's in – I mean, it's been called the glass closet. And this is a really unique thing. And I couldn't tell when considering the case of John Baird if this was to the press's credit or – now, back in the day when that would be left off – out of the papers, and then there would be these snide allusions to confirmed bachelor, whatever other terminology you want to use. That was one thing where this was, you know, could not speak its name. The deal I think that Baird made, whether this was implicit or otherwise, was if I vote against gay rights, then I'm a hypocrite and you will expose me. If I make my personal life, if I campaign on my personal life, or if I make that public, then you will expose me. But if I don't do those things, and in fact he was active, you know, and part of the deal was, hey, I'm off in Uganda, you know, using the bully pulpit and using diplomacy to fight for gay rights in a country where it's illegal, and this will hurt me because then, you know, the same way that before Norman Spetzer you couldn't have a Jewish Canadian diplomat in Israel.
It's always the Jews, isn't it, Jesse?
I think so. you know, it would somehow impugn his ability to actually fight for gay rights in Uganda if it was known that he was a homosexual.
But it was clearly known that he was a homosexual. Don't they have embassies down there and embassies here? Right. So in fact, right. So part of the some of the value proposition of last week's conversation with Desmond Cole was all and you put a little zinger in on the previous episode of the show. You know, the minute he resigns, we all decide John Baird is wonderful. OK, I understand what you're saying there. And there's a whole litany of things he did wrong. But one untrammeled good perpetuated by John Baird is steadfast. Advocacy for lesbian, gay, and yes, transsexual rights overseas and inside the country for things like the refugee program.
Okay, so given that, why is it my business? I mean, help me sort this out. Why is it my business as a member of the media to be out there telling everybody that John Baird is gay?
You wouldn't have to in the ordinary course of events because I keep telling you he's openly gay. I mean, I've seen him on Church Street, for God's sake. You wouldn't have to in the ordinary course of events.
He's openly gay, but he's not publicly gay.
I think there is, but I'm trying to answer your question because the subject matter was John Baird suddenly resigns. And you have to – when a politician suddenly resigns, you have to somehow imagine that there could be a scandal that's being quashed.
No, I don't have to wildly speculate on scandals that I have no proof
exactly. Well, no, because you have so much evidence of real scandals.
That's right. And I don't have one. And there's been a lot circulating. The CBC has this little memo like, oh, let's not listen to the rumors. And I think this is actually something that the secrecy –
You've gone two steps ahead of me here. So just let me finish.
Catch up. Keep up.
Let me finish my sentence here.
Please do.
So if the speculation – if people are wondering why he left the job – if the reason why he left the job is a scandal that's being kept quiet, you can't separate his being gay from that scandal because it could be a sex scandal.
And if I knew of that scandal, I would report it. But given that I have no proof that such scandal exists, then why – I mean – I feel like the compact has been broken in the sense that we, you know, there was some sort of complicity with my political career will be impugned if, you know, I'll lose conservative votes. Why is it your business to cost me those votes? And then there was a complicity where the press was like, okay, we're not going to go there.
But
That's off the table now.
I don't understand that actually because how many times was he elected to the House of Commons? If only there were a way to look that up. He was elected to the House of Commons more than once.
Just because everybody in Ottawa knows doesn't mean that everybody in the country knows.
The only issue is you said he would lose votes if he were known to be gay, but he would have to receive votes to be elected as an MP. So back in his home riding, don't you think they know he's gay?
I would certainly hope so. And you know, as one senior Ottawa journalist said to me in an email, not for attribution, Ottawa shouldn't be a colony that keeps open secrets from Canada. This journalist also said, but then I'm torn because I also feel whose business is it anyway, and please keep my name out of this.
Well, yes. So I'll give you a case where it could have been discussed, I think, quite profitably in all those many speeches and the many trips he made for lesbian and gay and, yes, transgendered rights across Canada, around the world. That's the perfect time to say Minister Baird, who's openly gay, was promoting these things. And you don't even have to check. You don't have to ask him a question. He just is.
This is a really tricky one. I'm not actually sure where I sit on it. And I think that the political climate and the culture matters too. To out someone 30 years ago had ramifications that don't necessarily exist today. And I don't really feel comfortable playing God and deciding, you know, whether everybody in somebody's life should know this or not. And I'm hanging the fact that we're saying it now.
Are you saying somebody or someone? You're talking about civilians or are you talking about stars? I mean, if Strombo were gay, he isn't. We could talk about his being gay because he's a star. Any politician who is gay or lesbian, we should be able to talk about that because they're public figures.
But if they themselves don't want that to be known to their loved ones, maybe they got a wife, maybe that's going to cost them their celebrity. Why isn't my business?
That's a scenario, but we're talking about openly. We're talking about, of course.
If they're known in a community, then it's okay to put it in a newspaper. I don't know. And I'm hinging the fact that we're doing this now on the fact that this actually has been covered in the press. Maybe that's a flimsy excuse.
And the CBC, you read, is attempting to suppress reporting on it.
Yes.
Right, which is pretty serious.
And that's pretty much in my wheelhouse of what I talk about. When somebody's trying to suppress something, I think that's safe fodder for Canada Land. But I'm still conflicted as a rule as to, you know, whether the press is doing exactly, like, whether this is somewhere where we're advanced and, you know, very mature in the same way that, you know, the American press might go after, you know, affairs, but the European press does not.
I don't think that's comparable. And remember, as to paraphrase Michelangelo Signorelli, it's not outing, it's reporting. And I would also remind you again, Jesse, and tell your listeners that the only people who ever wanted the closet are straight people. The only people who benefit from the closet are heterosexuals. So when heterosexual journalists get together to decide, well, we're not going to report on this because we have our own reasons, and then you counter those reasons, they come up with another set of reasons. And this has happened for decades with athletes who are gay or lesbian, for example, and I followed that for decades, so I know it, right? So your class of heterosexual journalists, especially heterosexual editors and so on, will always come up with a reason not to report that someone is gay, even if it's true, even if it's relevant, even if they're not hiding it.
All right, that was Canada Land Shortcuts. I hope you enjoyed it. You can always email me at jesse@jessebrown.ca. I read them all. I respond when I can. I'm on Twitter @JesseBrown. Joe, where can people find you?
Well, I write Canada Land Watch at canadalandwatch.wordpress.com and Twitter @JoeClark, but you have to ask to be let in.
That's Joe's protected Twitter account. The website is at canadalandshow.com and the crowdfunding site is patreon.com/CanadaLand. I make this show with Andrew Norton, and the next episode of Canada Land will be up on Monday. If you like this show, support it.
By the way, I can make a comparison to the Smiths, so top that.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.